The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Jim O'Callaghan was with me, though, in the meantime, the Minister for Justice, because today the Policing Authority published a review of public order policing. This was commissioned in the wake of the Dublin riots in November 2023. Minister, you're very welcome to the show. I mean, there's an awful lot in this report that we could talk about, and we'll try and get through as much as we can. There's stuff about, you know, social media and stress and well-being supports, as the Garda Inspectorate report. I want to start, though, just on the broad sense people get maybe from reading this. A lack of standardised training for public order policing, poor intelligence sharing outside of Dublin, no permanent training facility, not enough personnel, not enough equipment in the right places. I mean, it speaks of a, dare I say it, amateurish approach to public order policing.
Yeah, hi, Kieran. Yeah, there certainly were issues associated with public order policing, and I think they were exposed when it came to the events of the 23rd of November 23 in Dublin. But isn't there some positive news in this as well? Because things have improved considerably, and now Gardaí are much better prepared for public order events or riots should they happen again in the future. Like, for instance, you raised the point about we didn't have enough Garda personnel who are trained in public order policing. We're now in a situation where we have 1,500 Garda personnel who are trained in public order policing. 700 of them are available in Dublin, and that's a significant increase over the past year or so of when it was only 200 people. Also, we now have much better equipment. We have two water cannons. They've been purchased. They're available. They're in the country at present. We've also going to see, and we have 15 new public order vans. They'll be available this year. And more importantly, we've better equipment for the Gardaí. One of the feedback from the riot in November 2023 is that the Gardaí equipment wasn't sufficient for them. And we've spent a significant amount of money, 2.7 million last year, in new body armour. There's also greater strength in the pepper spray that's been used by the Gardaí. So we're in a much better position. I fully recognise and accept the criticisms in the report as to where we were, but where we are now is considerably better position.
I guess it's one thing having the equipment and having the training and the things like pepper spray. It's another thing to use it. And one of the issues that comes up in a number of different areas in this report is the reluctance of individual Gardaí to deploy force when it may be called for. And they fear complaints made to GSOC, the Ombudsman Commission. We've talked about that on this show before. But what I thought was interesting as well is they sometimes feel constrained to use force because of concerns over safety, because there's a lack of personnel maybe with them, they feel isolated, and because of social media scrutiny.
Yeah, listen, one of the issues I was concerned about at the time of the riot was I thought there may be some hesitancy on the part of Gardaí using force because they were concerned about complaints being made about them to GSOC if they did so. Mm. This Policing Authority report, like, it conducted surveys, it interviewed members of An Garda Síochána. That wasn't the reason why Gardaí were hesitant about using force. Why Gardaí were hesitant about using force was predominantly because they were fearful if they didn't have enough support with them or numbers with them that they wouldn't succeed in the use of force. So that's why it was so important that we got much greater numbers trained in public order policing into the force.
Yeah.
And then we find ourselves in a situation where we have greater numbers. But listen, I appreciate the concerns as well about social media and people targeting members of An Garda Síochána. That's why I'm committed to, you know, introducing amendments to the Public Order Act to give the Gardaí power to direct people to remove coverings, you know, facial coverings. A lot of people who are harassing the Gardaí disguise their own identity. That's something that we can't allow if they're using face coverings for the purpose of intimidating others.
Is there anything that can be done with regard to people filming the Gardaí going about their duties, even if it does involve the lawful deployment of force? Because, well, I guess that speaks to the concern that some individual guards have, is that that footage is then packaged in such a way to make the Gardaí look like the oppressor.
I know. What's interesting is that we've now rolled out, and we have about 600 of them, body cameras that are used by the Gardaí in certain areas around the country. I'm told by Gardaí on the ground, and indeed by the Commissioner and Deputy Commissioner, that that is having a marked impact on the behaviour of people who interact with members of An Garda Síochána. Previously, people were very aggressive, confrontational. They were videoing the Gardaí. Now that they know that the Gardaí are actually videoing them, it changes their behaviour. Mm. So I think that's one.
But they are entitled. Are they legally entitled to film the Gardaí in a public space.
In a public space, people are entitled to film other people. You know, sort of mainly cranks do it, to be frank with you. But if they're now videoing Gardaí, if they step beyond that and they engage in harassment or intimidation of the Gardaí, well, then that's something different. And the Gardaí now, because they have the body cameras, yeah, they can record what's happening.
But that footage isn't made public. You know, and that there's that idea that the lie is halfway around the world before the truth has had a chance to put its pants on. And, you know, that footage of the Gardaí, that crank, as you described them, may have collected and it's shared. It's one thing for the guards to be able to kind of sit around the station and say, well, listen, our body cam footage shows it didn't really play out like that. But, you know, once that's had 500,000 views on social media, it doesn't really matter what the guards are saying down in Pierce Street.
Listen, my assessment is most people in this country support and Garda Síochána Síochána, and they know they have a difficult job, but they know that they have a really important job. In terms of the body cameras that the Gardaí have, like, that has resulted in convictions in court recently. So it's changing not just the behaviour of people, it's now also letting judges know the type of harassment that the Gardaí can be exposed to by people out in the public domain. So I think it's transforming behaviour. I think it's providing much better evidence. I think it's informing judges of the harassment that Gardaí can go through. And I think it'll change people's behaviour, because if you're somebody who's just holding up a camera phone to a guard and harassing the guard, your behaviour will change if you know that you're being videoed and that can be used in evidence against you.
So the body camera legislation, I mean, it came with great debate, mainly because there was issues around the use of facial recognition technology alongside it. Where are we in terms of the next phase of technology available to...
Well, we haven't, I regret to say, yet got facial recognition technology legislation passed in the Oireachtas.
And will we?
I think it's... I'm committed to doing it. I find it embarrassing that we don't have that. Like, I know some people say it's intrusive. Nobody is suggesting that FRT is going to be used as the sole piece of evidence to convict somebody of a criminal offence. But I was down in Store Street recently. There were two retired members of An Garda Síochána there going through footage from the riots in November 2023, trying to see if they could identify individuals who were involved in criminal activity. Like, we need to use the technology that's available to us to speed up the process for An Garda Síochána. So I'm committed to introducing this legislation and to putting it on the statute book and to put us in the same position as, for instance, the UK and other countries in Europe whereby they have the FRT. We should have it, and we're actually doing a disservice to ourselves.
When do you hope to have that legislation passed?
I'm hesitant about giving commitments because I want to do things as quickly as possible. I've got to get the legislation in the department prepared. I've got to get it to the Office of Parliamentary Counsel. But listen, I'm committed to it and doing it as Minister for Justice. I'm committed to doing that, and I'm going to do it as fast as I can.
Is it some kind of fairly serious groups came out against it or certainly raised concerns about it? You know, it wasn't just cranks, again, to borrow your phrase. At the Irish Council, at the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties and others?
Yeah, I was never suggesting that the people who were opposing it were in any way cranks. They make perfectly legitimate submissions.
But they're wrong.
Reflective of what... Well, I just disagree with them. Like, and I've listened to people in respect of it. Like, it is not the case. I just want to reemphasize this. Nobody's going to be convicted of a serious offence in a court of law based on facial recognition technology. But the opposition to it reminds me a bit of the opposition to DNA. Like, we cannot stop the advancement of technology. We need to use technology as an investigative tool for the Gardaí. And we're really doing a disservice to the Gardaí by not allowing this, so that a person can be stopped and questioned and investigated to see whether or not they were the person who committed an offence.
Well, you get no legislation passed if you don't sort out the speaking rights row, but we might talk about that another day. Can I ask instead about the Garda Inspectorate report recommendations? Because I found this an interesting aspect of today's policing authority review, that An Garda Síochána say that they've implemented 11 of the 20-odd recommendations and 7 of them are partially implemented or there's action ongoing. The policing authorities say no. They say no, only 3 of them have been implemented.
Can I ask you, Karen, is this in respect? I brought a report today to Cabinet as well, a Garda Inspectorate report in respect to domestic abuse.
No, this is the 2019 Garda Inspectorate report that was included in the review of public order policing today. So effectively, well, I guess the long and the short of it is you've on Garda Síochána saying, oh yeah, we did all of that. And now you've the policing authority today saying, no, you haven't. I mean,
The policing authority are the statutory body responsible for ensuring that those recommendations are implemented. And when the policing authority go and we get the new authority under the new legislation, it will have responsibility for it. But certainly we don't have a situation in Ireland where just the Gardaí can tick the box and check themselves and say, oh yeah, we've done that.
It sounds fine. Like they were doing that, doesn't it? If they claim 11 of them were implemented, and then when the policing authority actually looked, they said, no, it's three.
Well, it is of concern. It is of concern that, but what I'm pleased about is that the policing authority is checking the homework up in Garda Síochána to ensure that the recommendations have been implemented and that they have been complied with. And that's like the days of the Gardaí just being responsible for ensuring that they're conducting or performing the obligations under recommendations from the inspectorate are gone. Mm. We have the authority to check their homework.
It's not a great situation, though, isn't it, when you can't believe what the guards are telling you?
Well, listen, I think there can be a difference in assessment and opinion as to whether or not something has been implemented or not. What the Gardaí may feel that they have implemented a recommendation and the policing authority, quite legitimately as well, could think, well, that hasn't been sufficiently implemented. So like, I don't view it as being a situation where the Gardaí are deliberately misleading or anything like that. I think there's a different assessment as to whether or not it has been adequately implemented.
All right. I mean, it's a fairly glaring difference. But anyway, we might park that for the moment. Given that immigration is in your bailiwick as well, Minister, can I ask how you felt about Conor McGregor standing up at the lectern in the press room in the White House saying, I'm here on behalf of all Irish people to talk about immigrants eroding our sense of Irishness?
Well, he's not. He wasn't there on behalf of the Irish people. The man who was there on behalf of the Irish people was the Taoiseach, who was there the week before, who gave a much broader perspective of Ireland and the success of Ireland. So that's what was important, was when the leader of the government was over in Washington. Listen, when I was growing up, there was no immigration into Ireland. It has been a huge success, I think, in terms of the integration that has happened. We've done it really well. Tensions have arisen in recent years because of increasing numbers of people coming in claiming international protection and the pressures that that puts on the system. That's the area that I'm going to focus on, but I don't think we should take away from the success of immigration as well. You know, the country has benefited enormously. If you look at our hospitality sector, you look at the hospitals, we've benefited from immigration. One of the consequences of being a very successful economy is that people are going to want to come here. If the economy collapses and we don't create any jobs, no one will want to come here. But that doesn't mean that people are entitled to come here claiming asylum when they're not entitled to asylum.
I would strongly suspect Conor McGregor and his fellow travellers love nothing more than the idea of kind of robust border police at our ports and airports. So I think maybe even they would be surprised to have heard reports during the week about the sheer number of asylum seekers who come into the state from the six counties. So we had 18,000 asylum seekers who came to Ireland last year. What's your understanding as to how many came north of the border?
Well, 18,500 persons claimed international protection asylum last year. Certainly in the second half of last year, it appeared to be the case that the majority of people who were coming claiming international protection were coming over the land border, coming from Northern Ireland, claiming it down here.
Not much we can do about that, is there?
Well, we can apply the common travel area. Like, in truth, the common travel area is one of the great benefits that the citizens of Ireland and the UK have. But it's a privilege for citizens. Citizens of Ireland and citizens of the UK are entitled to avail of the common travel area. Persons who aren't citizens of either country aren't entitled to use it. So, like, that abuse isn't permissible. And it is
so
something
how do we
that
deal
we're.
With it? Like, in we practical
deal with
terms.
It, like, last week, I certified, this is quite a technical provision, but I certified the UK as being a safe third country. So in effect, what it means, if people are coming from the UK into Ireland or going from Ireland into the UK and claiming asylum, that they should be subject to returns
orders. They're going to bus them up to Newry.
Well, that's technically, that's what we're permitted to do. But, you know, I'm in discussions with the UK government in respect to this. I've spoken to Yvette Cooper when we were over in Liverpool the week before last. Like, we need to work with the UK in respect to this. and it's not something that we're going to be able to resolve on our own. But you're not entitled to avail of the common travel area if you're not a citizen of Ireland or the UK. That's the rule. That's the law. People need to comply with it.
But there'd be no way in which you would implement checks like that at the border itself, is there?
No, listen, we fought the whole Brexit battle on the basis that we don't want a hard border. That we don't. But that doesn't mean, by the way, like, we have a border management unit. We have Garda, National Immigration Bureau, who actively engage in terms of ensuring that people who are coming in are not breaching the common travel area.
I know that, but what I'm getting at is again, that question about the practicalities of this. I mean, politically, it's going to be almost impossible to put asylum seekers on a bus and dump them in Newry.
Well, like, frequently, people, you don't hear about this every day, but, like, I speak with GNIB, I speak with Border Management Unit frequently and regularly. People are put on planes or boats and sent back to places from where they've come. That happens. It doesn't get a huge amount.
Not an hour north of Dublin, though, on the same island. I mean, you can't claim that politically sending somebody back to Rwanda or the Gambia is the same as sending them to Enniskillen.
I'm not saying that. I'm talking about people going back to the UK, people being sent back to the UK or other European countries. Listen, there's a huge challenge there in respect of an open border. But listen, we've fought long and hard to have an open border on the island. We're not going to go back against it. What we need to do is just have a fair but firm asylum system. If somebody comes in and they claim asylum, they have it quickly processed. If they get it, they can stay. If they don't get it, they must leave.
Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan. Minister, thanks a million for speaking to us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.